All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 6th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Every day is beautiful. It's actually overcast, cloudy, damp, sort of warm, and beautiful, right? I went for a run this morning. My schedule got a little screwed up this morning. I had a cancellation. I actually double booked somebody. So I had to cancel one of them, and then the one would be this morning. So I had a little free time. I thought I would go for a nice run. And, just get out. It was funny. I went to a meeting last night. Tuesday. I went to a meeting on Sunday. And this is the meeting that they play Joe and Charlie. So Joe and Charlie are, it's actually really cool. I guess I could research this and find out more about Joe and Charlie, but what it sounds like to me is just a couple guys that are going through the big book, and they do a fantastic job. I've been working a program for a long time and going to a lot of meetings. So, it's pretty basic stuff, which is awesome, right? Cause I can definitely complicate things. And, the one I listened to this morning was on the spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening, which, I guess they're different. I talked on a podcast the other day about my spiritual awakening and you know, wanting to have this spiritual partner, right? And really coming to the conclusion that I've always been spiritually awake. It's just that I block it out with so much self-centered stuff, self-centered fear, really. Fear is the problem. And so I was trying, you know, I'm running and listening and running and listening. And I'm thinking, you know, what's the difference between a spiritual awakening and a spiritual experience? And they happen for me all the time, honestly. There's a lot of things that, and this is just my thought or version or my what I'm feeling as far as a spiritual experience is. Everybody's is different. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. I'm just taking a half hour to chat about my thoughts on it, but I'll never forget the first time I had to set up front, and it was for my first year anniversary. And, you know, I had been thinking about this for a year, right? Because I came into the program and, you know, pretty quickly you would see people celebrating anniversaries, and you would hear people announcing their anniversaries. And there was always this behind the scenes talk that when you have your anniversary, you set up front. You share your experience, strength, and hope, and they'll bake you a cake, and you get a coin. And I was like, "Oh, that sounds really cool," and it is cool. It's amazing. It is it is definitely a blessing. But for a guy like myself, who is just full of fear, the thought of setting up front and sharing my experience, strength, and hope was very, very scary. That lower voice, you know, that we got the higher power and then we have the lower power, or I at least have a lower power. And the lower power is like, oh my God, how scary is that going to be? You don't want to sound like an idiot. There's this list of topics that come up from the lower side that in turn create a lot of fear and anxiety for me because, you know, the one thing I definitely don't want to do is look like an idiot. And so I'm already having a spiritual experience. I just don't know if it's a positive one. There's definitely, you know, and I've said this before to other people, you know, is that real? You know, we talk about God, we talk about a higher power, we talk about good orderly direction. Is there a lower power, bad orderly direction? Is there a voice that we also hear that isn't always pushing us towards things that would favor our spiritual awakening? Or is it something that pushes us to avoid or not complete that spiritual awakening or the spiritual experience? It is real for me. And that voice was giving me a lot of reasons why I shouldn't do it. But, you know, one day at a time, stay sober. And next thing you know, it's your anniversary and it is your opportunity. And there's a lot of people, I know for me, there was a lot of people that were excited that I was going to celebrate my first year, including myself. And so, you know, the day came, right? And the cake was made and I had to set up front and I was full of fear and anxiety and worry and stress. And then in the end, it happens. I shared and I didn't burst into flames and die. The moment happened, I shared, and then it was done. And the relief and the spiritual awakening, the spiritual experience had taken place, and that spiritual experience washes away all the fear. As soon as I said, thank you for letting me share, the fear was over, right? The lower-powered voice was gone. I had pushed through the moment of absolute anxiety and survived. And man, how freaking awesome did I feel? You know, it's nice when you have these moments where, you know, these timestamps, right? Where you know, it's one thing to just live constantly in fear and anxiety, right? Just always like the never ending, you know, I'm never going to get better. I'm always going to be this way. I'm, you know, my life's going to suck. And that cloud's just constantly over us and worry and fear. But it's another thing when you have like this timestamp where you've got to actually do like a speaking engagement or your anniversary or, you know, something that takes you out of your comfort zone. And all of a sudden that voice starts showing up that starts creating anxiety. And, you know, if you're, you know, usually at this point in my life and this point in my recovery, if that starts to happen, I just say, you know, hey, man, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fine, right? Just like my buddy Matt, he used to love getting lost. He used to love to push himself right up to that line of fear and anxiety, but always knowing that he was sober, right? And that's how I am today. You know, no matter what comes along, whether it's, you know, doing podcasting, whether it's working, whether it's facing the seasonal change in my business, whether it's speaking at a meeting, playing basketball against the Harlem Wizards, whatever those timestamps are, it's scary until the moment. Right. And then we push through and then you feel fantastic. Right. And it proves one thing, man, at least for me, is as long as I'm staying sober and working a program, I can do anything I want. Right. There's nothing, you know, because what is it? What would happen? Let's say I'm not really working a program. Right. Let's say I'm struggling And I do agree to do something like that. You know, when you get on the other side of something, well, whether I would even get asked to, I doubt it, right? But let's say I am. Let's say something's gone wrong and I'm struggling. You know, you live in that stress, and then once you get on the other side, all you think about is how scary it was, right? You still can't let go. And for me today, luckily, as a person that's is sober and working on my serenity, you know, I look at these things, I'm like, yep, I'm going to do it. I'm already ready for all these negative talk that's going to show up. And I'm just going to, you know, rebuke thee, right? I'm just going to tell it, hey, I really want to do this. I'm not concerned. I have no fear about it. And you come out on the other side. And that, to me, is a spiritual experience. There's a wave of humility that comes over me that just says, you know, you did it. You know, you faced your fear. And one of the things they were talking about on the when I was running the, I don't, I guess it's, you can find them on Spotify, so I guess it's considered now a podcast. You know, the spiritual awakening is the change of personality. A change in personality. I don't know if a change in personality creates a spiritual awakening or a spiritual awakening creates a change in personality, but it is a shift in personality. And, you know, I think we can all think about having conversations with people that haven't quite decided to get sober or don't realize they need to get sober at all, and checking how their personality is. And when someone's deep in their addiction, their personality is quite different. It is a, you know, and like I've said, I believe this is almost like being possessed, right? And that possessed person has the personality of a possessed person. Very negative, very harsh, not a good outlook, right? And then when there is that, when you meet the person that's had some time in a program and you, and they do work the steps, you can see a difference in their personality. It's pretty easygoing, laid back, you know, one day at a time, stay in the moment, turn it over, pray about it, follow directions, go to meetings, work the steps. You know, it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple personality. But when you, I remember prior to getting sober, my personality was a fucking mess. I didn't know who I was. I wanted to do drugs. I wanted to drink. I wanted to try to hustle money. I wanted to try to have fun. And I wanted to try to manipulate the system. And that's a different state of mind than the person I am today. The person I am today is just super grateful, right? Just super grateful and always, always wanting to open my eyes and see cool things happening, you know. And even since in the last couple of years, just this real relationship with the higher and lower power that I'm recognizing and making efforts to try to change some things. You know, one of the things I struggle with, and it's not, it could be an addiction to some people, is food. Food, me and food have, I struggle with food, especially like sugar and stuff. I think I'm an average sized person. I weigh about 170 pounds, 5'10", just a normal guy. But I struggle with binge eating on some things like Almond Joys, right? This is my latest one. My wife and I, she is so skinny, she can eat everything, and she'll get in these little things where, I mean, when we first met, it was these honey roasted peanuts. She worked at this place, and she would bring these giant cans of these honey roasted peanuts from Virginia. I'd eat a freaking half a can. I mean, I was putting on peanut weight, and I couldn't say no to them. And then it was some cereal, and then it was, I had a moment where I was eating Reese's peanut butter cups, and then I was eating apples and peanut butter. It was just, it's like drinking, right? And our latest thing has been Almond Joys. So my wife, she can have an Almond Joy. We buy these 10 packs, right? There's 10 little Almond Joys in there, and she can eat two or three. I eat 10, and I can't stop. And when I get into this mode, I really can't stop. It's exactly like drinking. If I have one Almond Joy, I'm not going to be able to stop. I mean, I'll finally stop at 10 just because I just run out of energy. And the worst part is it happens in the middle of the night. Like, I'll wake up around 1:30 in the morning, and I'm like, God, I'm hungry. And so I'll go in the refrigerator or in the freezer, and we have all these Almond Joys. I'm like, ooh, let's have a couple of those. And I start eating a couple Almond Joys. Next thing you know, I'll go back. Next thing you know, I'll go back again. I have never eaten 10, but I could have. I absolutely could have. And the other day, I don't know how many I ate. You know, I'm throwing wrappers away. I'm full of shame and guilt. You know, on my nightstand next to my bed, there was 4 wrappers of empty Almond Joys, and I grabbed them real quick and threw them in the trash. I was embarrassed, and it's just like drinking. Problem is, I'm not going to go to jail on Almond Joys, but I woke up the other morning and I just felt terrible. I just felt terrible. So I went for a run, and I said it to my wife. I said, no more Almond Joys. We're not buying any more Almond Joys. I don't care if you love them. I'm struggling with Almond Joys right now. And that's it. I haven't had any Almond Joys. This is my second day. I need a chip. But that's, you know, what is recovery? I mean, right? It's like, I have a drinking problem. I have a drugging problem. I have an Almond Joy problem. Right? In the end, alcohol was devastating to my life and to my family and to everything, to my future. And so quitting alcohol and drugs was top of the list. But I don't always use that same sort of thinking when it comes to other things. Luckily, I don't struggle with money. I don't have a lot of money, so we don't really struggle with it. But sometimes food, you know. And the other problem is that when I exercise, I need to eat. Right, I get really confused with food, and sometimes I'll eat too much food and not exercise. I'll exercise and no food, and it just becomes really crazy. So, I'm trying to change my ways a bit. First thing is, I'm not eating any more Almond Joys. I told my wife, that's it. Don't buy them. I'm not eating them. I don't give a shit how much you like them. We're not having them anymore. And I haven't had any. There are Almond Joys in the freezer, but it's like that. The little window opened up for me and I went through it and I'm not going back, right? I mean, sometimes I'll make choices. Well, I'm not doing that anymore, and then I'll do it. This could actually happen with the Almond Joys. I'm pretty firm right now where I'm at, but I could start feeling better in the next few days and feel like, you know, that little voice, you know, it's that fucking lower power. Whether he's trying to get you to drink booze or eat candy, it's always something, right? And I guess the upper voice, my higher power, must be sleeping because there's no pushback. It's just a free-for-all. So, but, you know, the other thing is that, you know, I like to exercise. I run. Part of my problem is that I don't eat enough, right? I want to lose weight. And I, you know, like I said, I'm always about 10 pounds overweight. I could always lose 10 pounds. I think we'd all feel that way if we could just lose 10 pounds. I actually feel quite well. I feel pretty well. Not that unhappy, but I do enjoy running. But if I'm going to run, I need to do one thing, which is eat. And, I get confused about how I feel in my stomach. My stomach doesn't feel good. I'm like, oh, I must be bloated from eating too much. My stomach's probably just annoyed and mad at me and feels irritated, but needs food. And that's what I'm finding. So I ran yesterday and then I made some steak and eggs that we had left over from the night before, and a half a bagel and half an avocado. And then this morning I ran and I did a podcast with BS Barbecue, which were on my other podcast yesterday, and they brought me a bunch of food. So I had brisket and scrambled eggs this morning, which is not a great combination, but I just wanted the protein. And then I had another half avocado and a half a bagel. I feel pretty good. You know, it's funny how I felt and what I thought that I felt, which was my stomach didn't feel good. I felt like I was stuffed from maybe last night. And really what I think the feeling is that I was hungry. And so now that I ate, that feeling has gone away. And it's weird because what I thought that feeling was, it wasn't. Or I'm not sure. I'm not, you know, I can't see inside there. But I feel a lot better now that I had some breakfast. I don't do that. I don't eat breakfast. I'm insane. When it comes to food, I'm insane. The other thing that's, you know, been on my mind, if you want to know, you know, there's, I'm a big fan of Pat McAfee. He has a sports show on YouTube, Pat McAfee Show. Good. But he always talks about fugazi, right? Fugazi, that guy's a fugazi. I'm like, well, what is a fugazi? And so I looked it up, and it's a fake, a phony. You know, And, you know, sometimes I feel like a fugaze, right? I'm sober. I work a program. I preach positive. I don't even preach. I just, you know, if I had a message, my message is just be positive, do the next right thing. But sometimes, you know, and I see it, nobody else sees it because it happens with me, but, you know, I'll have a reaction, something will happen, and my first reaction isn't always so sober, right? It isn't always so serene. It usually is like, F this MFer, screw this guy, and then I'm like, hey, Tom, you know, you're sober, you're better. And then I say, okay, right. And so, but it's kind of weird that guy still exists, right? You know, sometimes I, you know, I don't worry about it, but then I think, hey, you know, don't stray far from the beam, because that guy is still in there, right? There's still a bit of a toxic person, and I don't know if that eventually goes away. I hope it does. I don't really remember being like that early on in my life, but today maybe because I'm just getting older, but I'm very short tempered. My personal quiet thoughts to me aren't as always serene as they should be, or at least I thought they should be. You know, I shouldn't be, my first thought should not be rear end somebody because they just pulled out in front of you, right? It should be like, hey, no big deal. It's all good. We're driving, right? But it's not always that way. It's, and I don't want to be a fugazi, right? I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to say one thing, but inside feel another. It just happens a lot, especially with driving. And, you know, in fact, actually it only happens with people. But it's something I'm looking at, and you know, I'm sure we're all that way. We're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I do the best that I can. But sometimes I get a little annoyed, and I'm a little surprised that guy is still in there. Let's see. Let me do a little reading. A little reading. Oh, I need my phone. Where's my phone? It's right here. Has this happened to you? Has this happened to anybody out there? Are you surprised? You know, one of the coolest things that I thought when I came to, or I heard when I came to this program, was that you can go, you don't have to always go on your first thought, right? Very important. I mean, you know, there are things that happen and my reaction, you know, especially like purchases, maybe, you know, take a second. I remember my sponsor was like, if you feel like buying something, mention it to me, wait a day and see if you still feel the same way in an hour or, you know, the next day. And usually I didn't usually feel the same, and I would usually, it would pass. Big purchases, big decisions, you know, they always say, talk to a sponsor about it. The only time I wouldn't talk to a sponsor is when I didn't want to hear, which was usually that I probably shouldn't be buying what I thought I should be buying. But for the most part, you know, mention it to a sponsor. If you got something big coming up, talk about it with the sponsor, make sure you're doing the right thing, or at least you get another opinion. But you know, when it comes to purchases, you know, restraint from pen and tongue, you know, when you feel like saying something, take a second. Right? Go on your second thought. Obviously, we've been struggling with this for a long time, or that wouldn't be a suggestion. So I'm not going to beat myself up too much because, you know, my first thought is more of an assassin and my second thought is more of a helpful person. But it's definitely interesting. All right, let's see. Let's see if we can do a reading here. Reading, daily reflections. All right, here we go. December the 6th, when the chips are down. When we developed still more, we discovered the best possible source of emotional stability to be God himself. We found that dependence upon his perfect justice, forgiveness, and love was healthy, and that it would work there, or it would work where nothing else would. If we really depended upon God, we could very well play God to our fellows, nor Oh, wait a minute. If we were really dependent upon God, we couldn't very well play God to our fellows, nor would we feel the urge wholly to rely on human protection and care. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 116. It has been my experience that when all human resources appear to have failed, there is always one who will never desert me. Moreover, he is always there to share my joy, to steer me down the right path, and to confide in when no one else will do. While my well-being and happiness can be added to or diminished by human efforts, only God can provide the loving nourishment upon which I depend for my daily spiritual health. Yeah. You know, when I have a decision, when there's something that I want to do, and it may not be the right thing, and I do decide that I want to wait, pause, get somebody else's opinion about something, that's a relationship with the higher power. That's hitting the brakes on what self wants, which is humility. Not self doesn't want humility, but the act of stopping what self wants to me is a humble act. That's stopping what self wants. And to me, that's a humble act. And that, to me, is a relationship with a higher power. So, you know, when in doubt, pause it out, right? And that, hopefully, we can hear something from a higher power that gives us words of wisdom that can either, hopefully, if we were about to make a bad choice, gives us an opportunity to not make a bad choice, which I think is, you know, there's a lot of little things that I do or we do in a day that is relationship with a higher power. You know, I can have a client. I had a client this morning yesterday who canceled. You know, I was annoyed. The fugazi side of me wanted to be like, well, how the fuck that happened? How's that my fault? You know, what a pain in the ass. But I paused, right? I stopped. I said, no, don't do that. And I said, no problem. That to me is a spiritual relationship with a higher power, because what I wanted to do is, and that is my problem, it's what I wanted to do is what got me here. I didn't listen to, and I stopped and I paused and I said, what would Jesus do, right? Or what would my buddy Matt do? I do think that way a lot. What would Matt do? And Matt would be, you know, these are your clients, you know, you'd be grateful and you be respectful and you have no problem and that's business and you move on, right? In the past, in my addiction or, you know, in that period of my life, it was always like I'm on the urge of failure. So it's always a freak out moment and, you know, I don't have to do that today. So it's a pretty good reading. I hope everyone's having a great day. Thanks for letting me share and we'll talk later. Bye.